Good morning, everyone. We are beginning to wrap up this week. How are you feeling about it? You want to extend it for another week? I would. It's been a really great adventure. How many of you had the chance to go down to the dam here? Right? Have you done that little walk over there? If you haven't done it yet, I would really suggest that you find some time. My wife and I took a little time yesterday afternoon, and we just did the walk. You go up the hill. You see that cross that is right here on the left side? Go up to the cross, and then there's a road. You'll see a sign that says, "Bridge is closed." Don't pay attention to the sign. Just unless you're driving. Right, unless you're driving. Then walk down and it's a beautiful, beautiful sight. You go across the bridge, the dam, and then come down on the end of it. There's a little steps, and then all the way to the dam, you see the crystal clear water. It's very, very crystal clear water. And then you even saw some fish that sometimes they slip out of the dam. And then, because when you're walking on the bridge and you look down to where the water is falling off the dam, you see, I don't know what this is about, but the fish are like, they're all waiting for a moment to jump. I think they just want to go to the other side, but they're scared of doing it. But you see them all there, and I was kind of depressed that they have a sign that says, "No fishing on the bridge." You know what I'm saying? But this is the perfect place. All the fish right here, they're just waiting. In fact, I was looking down, and they were going like this. They're going up, and then just... they're like waiting for food, you know. They're just looking at you. But it's a good sight if you want to have. What else have you done? Maybe give me some suggestions. We have a couple more days here. Anything else? Something else that you've done that has been good besides coming to seminars? Any suggestions?
Susanna Wesley Prayer Garden.
Where is that at? Here on this road, on this campus. All right. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. We need to look into that. I haven't been there. Anything else that you have done that has been good for you besides eating and sleeping?
Go to the museum if you get a chance.
The museum. Yeah, we did the museum and the library. They have a library. In fact, I found some good books. 50 cents. Right there, they had like a little cart there, and they're 50 cents the soft covers and $1 the hard covers. So you can just go there, and they have a little box right there. They trust you, so you can just put the money in there. Anything else? The lake. Yeah, we're going to do the lake tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be our lake day because our kids are gone, so we say we're going to do the lake tomorrow. I'm going to try to do my any of you done the paddle board? Yeah? Is it hard to do it? It's easier. Okay, good. Because we're like, shall we do it? Shall we not? You know.
Just start out in a kneeling position and make sure you're balanced when you stand up.
Okay. And once you're standing, that's it.
Huh? Her explanation means it's not easy. Make sure you do this.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, good. Yeah, because
I didn't get wet. It's the first time I've ever done it.
Okay, good. So that's a good sign. So anybody else who want to do something special may try that.
The fruit popsicles.
Where are they?
Coconut.
And the ABC, fruit popsicle. Ooh, the best. Are you taking notes of that if you haven't done any of that? Okay, fruit popsicles. We'll go there. One more thing. Anything else that you've done that it was fun that you want to recommend?
Walk around the lake.
Yeah, we did half of that. We didn't do the whole lake.
No,
you have to do the whole thing. I did half the experience, so we got to finish that. Honey, you ready for that? 5K tomorrow morning?
They also have a 1 mile fun run if you don't want to do the whole 5K.
Oh, they do. Yeah, Yeah, my wife went out this morning, and then she came back and says, I thought it was going to be warmer. But anyways,
1 degree warmer today.
Praise God. All right.
But sunshine.
Yes, it is.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome back. Did we pray?
No.
Not yet. All right. Why don't we, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for being such a great God to us. We are enjoying ourselves this week with so many opportunities to connect with you, connect with one another, and to rest. And may we be energized by the time we leave this place on Sunday or Saturday, whenever we leave, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will just use us so we can be a good source of blessings to others that were not able to be here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, this morning we'd like to throw a question to you, and we're going to ask you to find someone that you don't know and have that discussion. I know that kind of freaks some people out. Says, oh, I do not want to meet with somebody, anybody. But that's okay. We can do it. Yeah, you can do it. I believe you can do it. Here's the question. If money or time were not an issue for you, what did I say? Because for us, always is about the money or about the time, right? These are the two things that really gets us stranded. If money or time were not an issue, what passion of yours would you develop that will make a difference in the atmospheres of influence that you're in? Whether the church, your community, what passion of you, what is something that you talk about, dream about, think about, yet because of money and time, you perhaps say, I'll never be able to do it. Okay? You got the question right? All right, find someone that you don't know and just share that. I'll give you about 5 to 8 minutes to do that. Everybody share 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Go around. You may have to get standing. You may have to get up. Get up. Get up. Find somebody you don't know and share. If time... money were not an issue. What is your passion? Hi, good morning, good morning. ¿Cómo están? You're looking for someone? All right. Someone? Okay. Anybody else looking for somebody? Over here. Come over here. Meet with the señora.
I was thinking you look familiar to me, too. I love you
If time and money were not an issue, what passion of yours would you pursue that will make a difference in your community, in your church, in your neighborhood? What would you do if time and money was not an issue? A passion. Well, whatever works for you. Yeah. Because I think everybody is already taken. Yeah. So just share. Are you doing this with somebody?
No,
are you
doing this?
Do you want to meet with them?
I guess.
Yeah. Share that. One more minute so you'll switch. 1 minute you should be switching to the other person. The second person should be sharing now. If you haven't shared, switch now. The second person should be sharing. Wrapping it up in 1 minute. Wrapping it up in 1 minute. Okay, well, this is a really exciting room here. I'm just so moved by it. All of you have these great already desires to do something very marvelous in your community. Just for fun, maybe two or three of you who would like to share something that you heard and you were really like, wow, you know, this is awesome. What did you hear from somebody or a person that shared with you that you I want to share this. This person shared with me that if money was not an issue and time was not an issue, this is the passion that they have that will do to make an impact in their community, their church. Anybody want to share something that you heard? Yeah, what did you hear? Judy, okay. Oh, look at that. Okay. Amazing. We need a lot of that. So many single moms, especially, that would like to have a place where they can just bring their kids for a little bit to do that. What do you hear?
My new friend here. What was your name?
Beth, all right.
A real dream, a passion that she wishes she had the time and the money to help fight against human trafficking and be an advocate for children who are in sexual abuse situations.
That is such an amazing thing. Thank you, Beth, for sharing that. One more. What else did you hear that you like to? This is. I want to share that. Yeah. What?
Well, my partner friend here, he shared how he has a passion for men's ministry, but it's not on here.
It's not in there.
You know, women's Bible study, but not men's Bible.
Oh wow. Okay. Just. Can you slash the W O? just slash W O and leave the man there. And that'll work for you. All right. Good deal. You know what the Bible says, friends? I'd like to share this with you this morning. It's one of the exciting passages in the Scripture, Ephesians 2:10. Let's read this together. For we are what? God's masterpiece. He has, I want you to underline that in your mind. He has created us anew in what? In Christ Jesus. Here is the reason why you were created. So we can do the good things He planned for us last week. Do you realize that every one of us, first of all, is a masterpiece? Turn to the person next to you and tell him, you are a masterpiece. Do that for me. You are a masterpiece. Make sure that you're told that this morning. You are a masterpiece. Number two, because you're a masterpiece, you were designed, according to the Bible, you were created to do good works that were planned by God when? Long time ago. So that means that in the infinite plan of God, God created you saying, I need this person on planet Earth because I need this person to accomplish this task. Therefore, I'm going to give this person something they can do it with. And all that happened at creation. Look at that other passage, 2 Timothy 2:21. Read it with me. If anyone, what? Makes himself clean from evil things, he will be used for what? Special purposes. And the master can what? Use him, and he will be ready to do what? Any good work. So the good news is that you were created to be useful. There is nothing in this planet that can give you the satisfaction, the joy, and the fulfillment that to know that what you did today made a difference, not in your life, but in somebody else's life. It's good when you do something for you. Don't get me wrong. But there is even greater satisfaction when you realize that today I lived purposely to make a difference in somebody's life. Now, how can you capitalize on that particular plan that God has for every one of us here? I'd like to do another little exercise here. And my brother there was already working on that. Here's what we're going to do. If time and money were not an issue, I want you to go page 1 and 2 on your handouts. I want you to pick 15 things that you would do, 15 things that you would happily do or be involved in to make a difference in your local church or your community. So go for it. Read. I'll give you about 10 minutes to do this. Check mark. 15 things. Nor more, nor less. Oh, and if you're going to do some more, that's fine. But 15 things. Yes.
Just in section 2?
No, all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have 7 sessions there. And if you didn't find something that there, just write it down on the last box. It says others, and there is a little line there for you to write. But you have to at least have 15 things you would do, happily do, that you will happily be involved in. Knowing that you were created to do useful things for the kingdom. I'll check with you in about 5 minutes to see where you are. For those who just walked in, you're finding 15 things on page 1 and 2. Check 15 things you will happily do or be involved in if time or money were never an issue for you. 15 things. you don't have a handout, the handouts are in the back table. Those of you just got in. And we're checking 15 things in page 1 and 2. 15 things you would happily do or be involved to make a difference in your local church or your community. And if you don't see them there, you can add them at the end, where it says others. How are we doing? Anybody needs about a minute? All but four, okay. Okay, one more minute and then we'll move on. Was it easy to find 15 things you would happily do? Oh, you can limit it to 15. There we go. It's like, oh no, I got to do more, right? Yeah, there we go. Okay. Well, you know, there is a reason why you can find 15 things there to do. It is because you were created to be what? To be useful. Turn to the person next to you and tell him, you were created to be useful. You were created to be useful. Unless you have a mental disability, every human being desires, even though they don't know how to do it at times, desires to be useful. And you can just find out very easy when you down the road and you see somebody with a flat tire and they're inside the car. How many of you say, wow, I wish I had time. I'm on my way to work. But every time we see a moment where somebody needs help, we all have this in us that says, I want to help. You may not be able to do it, but there's something about us that we want to help. Why? Because God created us. It's in us. We have been given this special inner image resemblance of God that we are live to do something for somebody else. And here's the reason why. There are seven particular strengths that God has given to humanity. Now, some people call them gifts. But these are strengths that even the non-believers also may display. So it's not necessarily under the umbrella of spiritual gifts, but every human has been imprinted with these characteristics to do. Now, you may display all seven. You may be able to navigate through all seven, but you are given a particular strength on one, two, or three of them in particular. So let me share them with you. Here are the seven. The first one is called, read it with me, is what? A perceiver. We'll talk about each of them in just a moment. The second one is what? A server. The third one is a what? Teacher. The fourth one is what? An exhorter. The next one is what? A giver. The next one is what? Administrator. And the last one is what? A compassion person. These seven definitely has kept our world from self-destructing. You hear what I said? These seven has kept our world from self-destructing. Even though people have abandoned God, even though people don't read their Bible, in the inner soul there is an image of God, and He has imprinted, and some of these are even in those who call themselves atheists. Because you have people that are atheists, but they are great servers. You got people that are atheists, but they're great givers. You got atheists that are great administrators. However, when you add the element of God, like you and me have here, because I'm assuming most of us here are Christians and God lovers, it enhances the original strength that God has given us. So let's just briefly go through each one of them. Your first one right there in your handout, page one, if you want to fill in the blank, is called perseverers. And perseverers in the context of Christianity, they will do prayer and intervention ministries. Perseverers, they will do a lot of prayer and a lot of intervention ministries. Let me just expand this a little more here. A perceiver is one who easily recognizes, discerns, envisions, and understands the will of God and the matters of life. And in expansion here, a perceiver will look at life through a perceiver's eyes. Everything will look either good or bad, right or wrong. It's God's will or it's out of God's will. So this is the people that have particularly good insights into life. Good insights. Have you met people like that? They have good insight. You know, you talk to them and you when you finish talking to them, you say, you know what, I never thought about that. I never, that makes a lot of sense. And it's not that you couldn't come out with that, but for them it's a lot easier to arrive to this conclusion. Have you met people like that? Okay. Are you one of them? Maybe you are one of them too. Okay. A lot of insights, a perceiver. They can perceive things. They can pick things almost in the air. They come to a place and they can tell you, I sense that there's something here that, and then you go like, what are you talking about? And I says, I don't know. It's just, I can sort of perceive that there's something here good. There is something here. You know, they look at a person and they almost can tell if the person is genuine or not. You know, it's a little challenging or a little dangerous sometimes to have this strength because you can overuse it or you can abuse it too. Are you with me? But this is one of the strengths that is very important. It's a God-given thing that you have. The second one on our list is servers. So you can fill in the blanks. Number two, servers. And what they do is they do practical ministries. Practical ministries. They're very hands-on people. Server is one who loves to serve others. And I think my friend Yuri there in the back, she's probably a server because her passion is help other people, right? Help other people. So we have already know that that's part of your strength. A server will approach reality with a question. What question do a server ask? Help me out. What can I do to help in this situation? You're always thinking about how can I help? How can I help? And when you know the speaker is here saying, can I have somebody to help me pass out these handouts? You're the first ones to stand up and help out and pass out. Because you always would have this in you that wants to be a help to others. Number three will be teachers do educational ministries. Teachers. Those of you who have that strength, teachers, educational ministries, here's a description of this strength. One who loves to research and communicate what has learned. Not just a person who only researches for himself, but this person is always thinking, I want to learn, so I can what? I can share it. I can teach it. In other words, you're always reading. You're always learning. You're always seeking to know more to share with others. Have you met people like that? They can be annoying sometimes because they always want to be telling you what they know, right? But that's who they are. You know, that's their strength. They always read. They always have a book in their hands. They always, every spare time they have, they want to be learning. In fact, if you have not gone to the Biltmore House, if you're not from the area, I'll encourage you to just do that. We did that second day? We went there. And Vanderbilt, I was amazed at the ability that this man had to learn. He was a learner, a reader, and he has an entire floor, almost half of the entire floor. This is you're talking about 176,000 square feet home, if you haven't been there. Half of the second floor is a library. It's the biggest private library, not a public library, but biggest private library I'd seen in my life. And it's just like floors, 9-10 foot shelves, books and books and books and books. And no wonder why this guy in 1895 was a cutting-edge technology. Because he loved to read. He loved to educate himself to do that. And he brought some things to America that no one else had at his time. First, heated swimming pool in America. You know, he had bowling alleys in his house. He had first clothes dryers in America in 1995. You gotta go and see that. But why he read, he learned, and then he shared that with others. A teacher. Next one will be what is the next one? Exhorters. And exhorters do counseling ministries. A description for him will be, or her will be, one who loves to encourage others to live a victorious life. Someone who really likes to, you are like a Barnabas, yeah, the encourager. You take the Pauls, and you see that there's some potential in this individual. And you always encourage them. You guide them. You bring them under your umbrella, and you develop them, and then you want them to succeed. And you're always trying to encourage people in the way they should be. An exhorter will see opportunities to encourage people at whatever they do. The next one, number five. Oh, go back. Okay. An exhorter will see opportunities to encourage people at whatever they do. Number five will be the givers. And what do? Givers, they do what? Outreach ministries. Givers, they do outreach ministry. When you come to making a difference in your community, in your church, outreach ministries, the scripture for them will be one who loves to what? They give time, they give talent, they give energy and means to benefit others and advance a good cause. So this is a good description of what a giver it's all about. Number six, it's administrators. Administrators will do leadership ministries. And here's a description for them. One who loves to organize, to lead, or direct. And the administrators, with her or his broad vision, will grasp the overall dimensions of a situation. And let's do our last one here. Compassion person. will do caring ministries, or those caring ministries. And a good description for them will be one who shows compassion, love, and care to those in need. The compassionate person will recognize hurts and wounds that need to be healed and see endless opportunities to express love. Okay? So there we have. I will say these are the seven universal principles that God instilled, is the word? Instilled in humanity. So we don't self-destruct, but we preserve ourselves, and somehow we are able to accomplish what God has intended. Now, what is interesting about these seven is that, as a reminder, God put parts of your body that represent every one of these seven. So let me put this little cartoon person before you, and I need your help. Now that you know the seven, let's look at those seven parts of the body that are pointed, and you tell me which one each of them represent. Let's begin with the top, the brain. Oh, you got it. The teacher, very good. The brain represents that dimension of God's plan for you and I to be useful. The brain. The eye. What do you think the eye will represent? Perceiver. Absolutely. The eye will represent the perceiver. What do you think will represent the mouth? Ah, you got it right. The exhorter is the one that is represented on this part of a body. What about the shoulders? Shoulders. What will represent? Administrator. You got absolutely right. They carry the load. They make sure they're organized. Make sure they keep things going. You know, the strength of the administrator on the shoulders. What about the heart? That's absolutely right. The compassion person is represented by the heart organ. What about the arms? What would that represent? Ah. Close. Well, we only have two left, right? No, you said it correctly. The arms represents the giver. You know, if you don't have arms, you cannot stretch it, right? You cannot stretch it. And finally, the hands are the ones who serve. The hands are the ones who serve. So God, in His infinite wisdom, He says, I want you to carry these seven universal strengths. So when you look at your hands, you say, I got to serve. When you look at your arms, you say, I got to give. When you look at your heart, what do you say? I got to be compassionate. When you look at your shoulders, what do you say? I want to make sure that I administer well things that are given to me. When I look at my mouth, what do you say? I want to make sure that I use my mouth to encourage, to be a good exhorter. When I look at your eyes, what do you say? I want to make sure that I learn how to discern and how to use that gift and talent. When you look at your brain, in a CT scan probably, right? When you look at your brain, you say, I know that God has given me the ability to teach. Now, the reality is that all of you can exercise these seven, but not all of you are strong in all of them. You are, at this point, and I think you're almost getting there, you're already saying, well, let me just ask, how many of you already kind of realized what you are? Let me see your hands right here. All right, most of you already did that. Okay, so to make it even possible, let's just do a little review here and allow you to kind of go over that one more time after we do this review, and I like to find out what demographics of strength do we have in our midst today. So, number one, perceiver, let's do a little review here quickly, brings insightful, read with me, brings insightful what? Declarations to life matters. That's a perceiver. A server. What is a server? Let's read together. Rents practical what? Service. A teacher researches and teaches what it learns. An exhorter, what does it do? Encourages personal progress. A giver shares material assistance An administrator gives leadership and direction. Compassionate person provides personal and emotional support. Okay? Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to look one more time at the 15 things that you checked. Go back to page 1 and 2. And I want you to check which box did you check the most, which box has the most check marks. Which of those, the 7 boxes has the most check marks? More likely, now this is perhaps not perfect, but more likely, where you have the most check marks, that represents your highest strength. Your highest strength. So do a little review then. Look at page 1 and 2. Look at the definition for a moment here. What each strength gives or provides to a world. Okay. All right, let me just do a little let's see how we're represented here in this building, in this room. Let me see the perceivers here. Perceivers, do we have perceivers here in our room? 1, 2, okay, 3 perceivers. Now there is a, and we do have the inventory that is more in detail. So our email is there somewhere. And if you really want to have a copy of the inventory where it will be more specific, because maybe you're saying, I don't really realize where I am, I think I'm this, I'm thinking that, we can email that to you and you can do it at home. But because of time, we couldn't do it here. It takes more time. But perceivers. Okay, we got some perceivers here. How about servers? Let me see the hands of servers. All right, we got servers here. Wonderful. Servers. What about our teachers? Where are my teachers here today? All right, good teachers here. We got teachers here. What about my exhorters? Where are my exhorters right here? All right, we got 2, 3, 4, all right, 5. Where are my givers? Givers, givers. Raise your hands if you're a giver. All right, there are your givers right here. What about administrators? Our administrators right here. Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right. What about our compassion persons that we have here? Okay, excellent. All right. Now, and you sometimes may be right in between two of them. You know, you could be a compassion person, you could be a giver or an administrator and a compassion person, you know. And so usually you'll have probably 2 or 3 that you navigate yourself through very, very easily. Now, what I find very interesting is that these strengths that you have, that God has given you, shape what you're doing today. It shaped what you're doing today. And in fact, it will give you greater satisfaction when your career matches your strength. So in other words, you did not become a medical doctor because of the money. You become a medical doctor because you are a compassionate and a server or a nurse or whichever you want to do. So the last page or the last 2 pages on these, I'll give you just maybe a couple of minutes for you to maybe find. Let's see how many of you are maybe how many of you already matched your career with your strength. Just look at the ones you think you are and then see if your career is there based on your, and in a minute I'll check with you. So page 3, 4, and 5, there's some career choices there. Now, this is also good for maybe young people here that may be in the verge of making life career decisions. You know, you can really help them out and say, you know, this is, I see that this is your strength here. I really would encourage you to kind of consider these options for you. Maybe some of you are in a transition time and you're switching careers because you found out 5, 10 years later that this particular career is not yours. This may be a very helpful thing to just kind of base yourself on. So I spend a couple of more minutes looking into some of the possibilities. See where you are. See where you have been. See where you want to be.
the in-depth inventory, and the receiver was my top one, but I didn't get any receiver today.
That's possible. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that, you know, there's a good comment here in the front that there are times in your life, and right now, for not doing the inventory, it perhaps doesn't come out as clear as it is when you do the inventory. But certain circumstances in your life may shift you into a different strength. And that's what, you know, I think that God in His wisdom gives us maybe two or three. Because if you are burnt out in one, maybe you begin to explore another strength because you overdid it as a perceiver, or you overdid it as a giver, or you overdid it as an administrator, and now all you want to do is to do something different. And definitely you can navigate, and they're negotiable, as long as they're still part of your inner design. The inner design. Yes. When you see a plus there, what that does is, you know, that's a good question. I don't recall. I have to look at the inventory. More one strength. Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. I need to double check that because I don't remember what the plus stands for. Okay, so let me ask you a question here. How many of you found your match? Match. Whoa, look at that. A lot of you are matching with your the strength and where you are. How many of you wish you'd done this 20 years ago? No, I'm just kidding. There we go. 20 years ago, right there, some in the hands. Never too late to reinitiate something in your life. I'd like to conclude this morning here with a testimony. It's not my testimony, but I'd like to share with you in a video here in just a moment. 10 years ago, I was at a crossroads, going through some difficult time in my life, and you know, you've probably been in there in those moments where you come to a roadblock in your life and you think that none of these strengths, that you have absolutely no strength whatsoever. You know, I think we all have been at one point in our lives. And maybe you are here today. You came, this was your kind of, let me see if these seminars here this week will do something for me. Because you lost focus in your life. You know, and that could be through tragedy, losses, family issues, financial issues, and all of a sudden you lose absolute perspective in life. And that's very possible. So maybe you're taking this right now and you're finding like, I don't find myself here at all. And I don't want you to walk out of this place thinking that that's who you are. Because this may be just a small fraction, a small period, a small season. That's the word I was looking for. Just a short season in your life. And just when I was in that moment in my journey, I attended, we were doing a special meeting, and they brought a speaker. His name was David Ring. And when I heard him speak and share his testimony, his story, it just revolutionized absolutely the way I was thinking, the way I was looking at myself, and it redirected my life into a different direction. And I'm very excited that happened right at that moment, because I do not know if I would have been here speaking to you today if that would have been a turning point. And I'd like to share with you, it's not the whole presentation of his testimony. You can just eventually Google it, David Ring, and he has a DVD. You can buy the DVD and all that. But allow me to share with you something that it was a tremendous impact in my life, and enjoy this testimony.
I thank you for letting me speak into your life today. And I pray that God might so invade this auditorium today that we might all leave in a moment and never be the same. Now, some of you look me over. You look me up one side, down the other. That's okay. I'm looking you over too. You'd say, well, I don't think I'm going to like you. Well, you don't have any option. Because the Lord Jesus said to love one another. Amen? But why is it that some people win and some people lose? Why is it that some people succeed and some people fail? Why is it that some people go on in their life and other people get stuck? Is it God's will that some win and some lose? Absolutely not. Because the Bible says, it is God's will that all shall come to repentance. None shall perish, but all come to repentance. It is God's will that every one of you leave today a champion in the game of life. You were not born to lose. You were born to win. And you can leave today a champion in the game of life. You say, not me, preacher boy, not me. You don't have a clue what I've been through. No, I don't. I don't know your storm. I don't know your valley. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know your lemons in life. But I know one thing, when life gives you lemon, make lemonade. Amen. Come on, folks. But the problem is, we don't want to give up the lemon. We want to hang on to it, don't we? Why don't we want to give up the lemon? Because if we give up the lemon, we won't have anything to talk about. No wonder people don't come to church. Because every time they come to church, they see a bunch of people sharing lemons with each other. Do you want to see my lemon? Oh, I can make that my lemon bigger than your lemon. Do you know, I'm so afraid to ask people how they're doing. Number one, I'm afraid they're going to tell me. Number two, I don't want to know. How you doing, ma'am? Oh, my back killing me. How you doing, so I don't think I'm going to make it today. That's pitiful. Every little pain we go through in life, we say, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, woe is my feet, woe is my leg, woe is my back, woe is my head, oh, get over it. Look at my life. Born with cerebral palsy. Born dead for 18 minutes. The oxygen could not get to my brain. That's why I walk with a limp. That's why I talk like I do, because of cerebral palsy at birth. If God loved me more, why do I have cerebral palsy? If God loved me, why is God picking on me? If God loved me, why? We all been there, folks. But one night, I went to church just to get my sister on my back. She'd been on long enough. At times, she'd climb off. And that night I went there, I'd sit down, the preacher go up to preach, and I'd say, man, I wish you would shut up. You've been there too, huh? And that night the preacher shut up, but look at me, people. Something happened to me that changed my life forever. For the first time in my life, I found out that God does love me and has a wonderful plan for my life. For the first time in my life, I found out that I'm not okay, but that's okay. God loved me anyway. And people, when you ever find out you not okay, but that's okay, God love you anyway, it will change your life. But the problem is, you think you are okay. But I got news for you. I'm looking at you. You're not okay. But that's okay. God loves you anyway. Amen. And that night I got up on my seat, came down to a old-fashioned altar, got down on my bony knees, and I said, Lord Jesus, here I am. If you really up there, if you really love me, come into my life. I'm a lonely, crippled boy. I'm a nobody, but tonight I want to be a somebody. And hallelujah, people, April 17th, 1970 at 8:45 p.m. Central Standard Time, I became a champion in the game of life. Praise the Lord. I became a somebody. I became a new creature because Jesus came into my life. God took away my old thing and gave me new thing. God took away my loneliness and gave me happiness. I'm not lonely anymore. I'm happy. You know why? Because I've been to the doctor. Dr. Jesus. Pretty good doctor to go to. Amen. Number one, you don't have to wait in a lobby for 2 hours. God took away my sorrow and gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look at me, people. I'd still walk with a limp. I'd still talk funny. But oh, the joy that floods my soul because Jesus touched me and made me whole. I'm not the same anymore. I've been changed by the power of God. I've been touched by the old time religion. And I'm not over yet. People, I chose to come and give my life to the Lord. I chose to move on. God not only changed my life, God changed my attitude. People come up to me and say, Brother Dave, don't you want to be normal? And I look at them and say, what's normal? You think you're normal? You got a long way to go, buddy. And some of you are not going to make it. Amen. I don't want to be normal. I want to be just like God made me. Look at me. Let me tell you something. That blow your mentality down the tube. That God knew me before I was even born. And when I was in my mama's womb, God ordained me. The Bible said I was wonderfully and fearfully made by God. Do you know God never says oops? God never says oops. Say that with me. God never says oops. Say again. Now, by look at some of you, it came real close. You're welcome. Thank God for the way I am. By the way, what's wrong with walking with a limp? What's wrong with talking funny? I love talking funny. I do. Some people call it a handicap. Baloney, baloney, baloney. It's not a handicap. It's a privilege to talk funny. Every time I'm in public, every time I open my mouth, people look. Can you do that? They tell me I'm a cripple, I'm a cripple, I'm a cripple. Where we are depends on what dictionary you use. Some people use the Webster dictionary to live by. I don't like the Webster dictionary to live by. Every time I look up Sweeper Posse in the Webster, I find I have brain damage. That's depressing. Therefore, I don't use the Webster. I use King James. Because the Webster tell me I'm a cripple, but the Bible tell me I'm more than conqueror. The Webster tell me I'm a nobody, I'm a nobody, I'm a nobody, but the Bible tell me I'm a somebody, I'm a somebody, I'm a somebody. I've been bought with a price. I'm a child of the King. I've been adopted in the family of God. And hallelujah, my name is written in the Lamb book of life. Come on, folks. The Webster tell me I can't do anything, but the Bible said with God all things are. And I'm just dumb enough to believe it. They told me I would never be a preacher, but I am. I'm preaching my guts out. 1971, God called me to preach. Lay in bed when I'm minding my own business. You've been there too, huh? And God said, David, I want you to preach. I'd say, oh, man, Lord, I can preach. Lord, I talk for the low people. Can you understand me, Lord? I held sweet poetry. Can you imagine me telling God I held sweet poetry? I got from the beginning and God said, really? You got to be kidding. Tell me something I don't know, big boy. And I'd say, God, if you want me to preach, take a second look and then call me. He took that second look and he'd still call me to preach. And I got out my bag of my Bible, not my Webster, but my Bible, and turning open to Philippians 4:13, which said, I can do all things through Christ. Well, I can do all things. And people, I'm not going to let their shaky body slow me down from doing what God called me to do. Little is much when God is in it. Don't ever judge a book by its. Now look at me. I held sweet poetry. Now, what's your problem? They told me I would never make it in evangelism. 1973, God called me into evangelism, and preachers told me I would never make it. I only been doing it 28 years. I may not make it. They said, David, you won't get enough invitation to shake a stick at. But last year alone, I received over 800 invitations. When I get a little bit more invitation, I'm going to go full time. God don't want my ability. God want my availability. But God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And people look at me, if God can use me, surely God can use you.
Can you do it? David Ring. Ring like a ring on the finger? David Ring. Nothing should stop us from doing what God has called us to do. You have been created to be useful. Let us pray. Father, we are moved by your compassion upon us. Forgive us when we have doubted your creation, meaning we have doubted ourselves, our inability, our unworthiness, our incapacity. But that is when we spend so much time looking at ourselves and so little time looking at our Creator, the one who has never made a mistake. I thank you for this beautiful group of believers who come this morning with a desire to build on the God-given strengths that you have provided for each of us. May the passions, the dreams, the hopes, and the desires in every heart reach the pinnacle of their existence as they trust you and they allow you to use them in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being such